Well, I'm inspired this morning with a message of encouragement. And I trust that the Lord would take these thoughts and that they would register in your souls wherever you live. Over the course of the past month, we've had a study on the subject of temptation and how important it is that we not fall into temptation and let it conceive lest it result in sin. Because it is sin that separates us from God, and we don't want to be separated from God. And last Sunday, we brought a message on the fact that there are consequences to our choices every single time. There are consequences of all of the choices that we make. That's a reality of life. This morning, however, I'm inspired to address another very real reality. And that is that all of us here this morning have come up short. At some point in life, we have given in to temptation. And no doubt there are many that are here today that, maybe all of us if you've lived very long, that are living with consequences that are undesirable due to choices that you made at some time in your life. That too is a reality. And so, where does that leave us? If we have failed, if we have given in to temptation, if we have sinned, if we are living life with undesirable consequences that seem to just follow us in life, where is it that that then leaves us? And the answer is that it depends. Where it leaves us depends on how we then respond. Our spiritual, our physical, our emotional state often depends on how we then respond to these things that happen to us in life. I'd like to consider some scripture by the help of the Lord this morning in the 6th chapter of John. And I'm not going to read all this because we don't have time, but starting at about the 47th verse, in fact, I'd like to note that I almost think that this whole account starts off with multitudes of people that the Lord was speaking to. And if you pick up in the 47th, 48th verse, Jesus was explaining and telling the people that I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate of the manna that came down from heaven. It was literal manna that they ate so that they could live, so that they wouldn't starve to death. But Jesus said, now I'm the manna, the living manna that comes down from heaven. I'm the bread of life. And he went on to tell them, he said that if you want, and I'm paraphrasing, if you want to be part of who I am, you're going to have to partake of who I am. If you want to live and be part of me, you're going to have to eat of my flesh, and you're going to have to drink of my blood. There's no other two ways about it. If we want to live for the Lord, we are going to have to take on who He is. And so he explained some of that. And in the 60th verse, it said, many therefore of His disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? And in the 66th verse, it says, from that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. I wish that it would have said that, I mean, if they're going to walk away, I wish they would have said that they walked no more with him for a little while. and then recovered and came back. But it doesn't say that. It said that they walked no more with him. You know, we likely, all of us here, most of us here, have reached places in life where we said, that's it. No more. That's a hard saying. That's a hard place to face. This is a hard situation now that I'm having to be confronted with. I'm done. No more. I'm through. This is it. This represents the end of the road. Can't go any further. You ever felt that before? I don't think that it is an uncommon emotion or feeling for us to experience that kind of situation. And sometimes, many times, people then allow that emotion and that feeling to be translated into action, and it changes the whole rest of the course of their life, because they go through life with the premise, I'm done. This is as far as I'm going to go. I've tried this. It didn't work. I'm done. Or I'm facing this difficult situation. It's bigger than I am. I'm going in a different direction. And perhaps you can think of places in your own life where you have said, I'm finished. No more. Maybe you failed in your life. Places of failure. Maybe repeated failure. And you looked at that and something within you died. Because maybe the failure was such that you felt like that it was going to define the rest of your life. And that the rest of your life was defined. Or you got yourself into a situation that looked like there was no way out. And again, something within you died. And the fire began to burn low. And you felt like, this is going to define the rest of my life. And you begin to withdraw. Sometimes we are hurt badly. And we can become hurt in certain areas and feel like that there's no place of recovery. And sometimes, figuratively speaking, we can fall to the ground, despondent. Sometimes we might feel like doing that literally. Other times we turn away from places, and we turn away from them with the intent of never returning to that place again. This relationship is over. This body of people, I'm done with. Sometimes we can become very discouraged with ourselves. You know, that is normally the biggest enemy outside of Satan that we face in life, is ourselves. We're hard on ourselves. Many times we can be more ready to forgive other people than we are ready to forgive ourselves. Even when Christ paid the price for you to be forgiven, we can get in places where we're not willing to forgive ourselves, and we go through life not forgiving ourselves, being hard on ourselves. And it changes what we otherwise could be. Sometimes we feel like we'll never be able to be a successful Christian. Don't ever look at me as an example to follow, because that's not who I am. You're going to have to look somewhere else, because I am a failure of a Christian, and I'm just hoping the Lord will allow me in. And the enemy can use that to get us in a discouraged state of mind that follows with us all through life. Sometimes we can be physically present and emotionally vacant. And we can just be going through the motions. We show up, but we're not here. We're somewhere else. We're emotionally removed. And there's hurts, failures, impossibilities that seem to stand between us and happiness and purpose in life. I remember this, the account in Joshua, the 7th chapter. Do you remember the story of Jericho and Achan and Ai? And the Lord had given them a great victory in Jericho. They were no doubt ecstatic. They felt like, we've arrived. It looks like this is going to work out. The Lord promised us many good things in the land of Canaan. And sure enough, the walls came down without us ever having to raise a hand against the walls. And things looked good and the future looked bright. But then immediately following that, they went into this battle at Ai and they suffered a very bad, unexpected, hurtful defeat. For reasons that they didn't even understand. And they didn't even know how possible that they could recover from that defeat. They didn't even know why it happened hardly in the first place. Have you ever been there? Have you ever wondered, how did I end up here? How did this happen? I thought everything was going per plan. Everything looked like it was working out. And now, look at this. What happened? I'm in this bad plight. That lowly Ai over here has just now brought me down. I couldn't even have victory over Ai. People have been hurt. Loss of life has happened. What are we going to do? And that was the story that happened. And Joshua felt responsibility. He was responsible. Joshua was the one that the Lord said, Joshua, rise up. Lead my people. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now it's your turn. Now it's your responsibility. It's time for you to step up. And so he did. Joshua arose. He did everything he knew to do. He stepped up. And they won a victory at Jericho, but then promptly failed at Ai. And Joshua then found himself down in the ground, in the mud, in the dirt. His clothes were rent, and I mean, when you look at it, the children of Israel, they did fail. Someone in the camp did sin. They lost a battle they should have won. Men died. Families died. Friends died right among them. There were consequences to the choice that somebody made. And they were in a desperate place. They were in a desperate situation. A place many of us are acquainted with. I'm acquainted with the dirt and the mud. I have fallen too. You don't know which way to turn. You don't know what the answer is going to be. Sometimes you wonder, is this my lot in life that I'm going to remain face down in the dirt? That's where Joshua was. What to do now? Well, the Lord had the answer. And the Lord came along and He told, and I'm paraphrasing a little bit, He told Joshua, Joshua, what are you doing down here? What are you doing down in the dirt? In the mud. Arise. Get up, Joshua. And he said it again in the 13th verse, only this time the Lord condensed his direction to one word. He wanted to get right to it and make sure it was real clear. And he said, up. That was the direction he gave Joshua then. The second time, up. Why? Because that defeat didn't have to spell the end. That defeat at Ai did not have to define the children of Israel. That difficult place did not have to define the rest of their lives. And this morning I want to encourage you with this, that past failures, past places where you found yourself with great hurt and not knowing how you're going to go through the rest of your life, does not have to define you for the rest of your life. Thank the Lord. The Lord had great victory in store, many victories in store for Joshua and the children of Israel. And this morning I want to encourage you with this, that the Lord desires and has many victories in store for you too, regardless of your past. Regardless of the places where you felt you were face down in the mud and in the dirt, and your clothes were rent, and your hair was full of dust, which was the case here with Joshua and others that fell down with him. Yes, they had some things to repent of. They had some wrongs to make right. But the Lord did not want them to stay in that abased place. His direction was, arise, get up, what are you doing down here? Up, I have something for you to do. And we too can do the same thing if we will make that choice. I believe the direction of the Lord to us today and His exhortation is, if you are in this place, the Lord is coming by and gently and with love and compassion saying, arise, my child. You can get up. And if we will get up and we'll dust off the mud off our knees and we'll square our shoulders and we'll lift up our head in confidence in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord has something special for you in the days to come. And I want to say this, we have all, this morning, we have all faced circumstances that are bigger than we are. All of us have had to deal with consequences of choices that we have made that are undesirable. And there's not a person in here today that has a corner on the market of failure. Everybody here has failed. Everyone here has lived a life that is not worthy of being accepted into heaven except for the blood and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. I was thinking about Paul. Consider Paul. He was the self-declared chief of sinners. He killed and he imprisoned God's people. And the Lord Himself came along and He struck down Paul and issued a rebuke and a judgment against Paul that was based in fact. And He said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Well, I don't know about you, but it seemed like to me that if you are in a place where you are committing sin against God Himself, and the Lord came along and He said, this is personal. Why are you persecuting me? Why are you sinning like this? It would seem like that we would be found in a state where there was not a very good way out. That would be a very low place. And Paul, because of the judgment of God and the voice and the power that came out from heaven, caused Paul to find himself on the ground, not able to stand. And there are times where we will find ourselves on the ground and not able to stand because the circumstances of life are bigger than what we are. But I want to encourage you today, thank the Lord, we do not have to stay on the ground. The Lord came along to Paul and once again issued the command and said, arise and go. And I was struck with that. He didn't just say, come on, Paul, Saul at that time, go ahead and stand up. You don't need to stay on the ground here. But not only did he tell him to arise, but he also said, go. The Lord had a plan. He had a purpose for Paul, the very one who was persecuting God and his people. He had a purpose and a mission for him. And thankfully, for all of us today, Paul had said, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And the Lord said, arise and go. And he gave him direction on what he should do in life. But I want to ask this, what if Paul had decided, oh Lord, I have been persecuting you. I have been killing your very people. And he allowed it to get him to the place where he withdrew from everything because of his failure. And got down in his failure. And down in the dirt. And stayed down in the road. And never got up again. Think about all of the people who would have been adversely affected because of that response. We have all benefited immensely. All through the ages, people have benefited immensely from the writings of Paul, from Paul's example, from Paul's encouragement to us. And had he stayed down in the ground, we would have missed out on that. Folks, a note here. The Lord is interested in your life personally. The Lord cares about you specifically. The scripture said in Jeremiah, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give who an expected end? You unexpected end. God loves you. He cares about you specifically. But I also want to say this. It's not all about you either. The Lord wants to use you in your humanity to reach other people. God has a place for you. For every single one of us. He has a place for us. And He doesn't want us in our failure. He didn't want Joshua. He didn't want Saul. And He does not want you to remain in a low place in the face of failure, in the face of circumstances that cause you to be in a place where the future looks completely dark with no light. The Lord doesn't want us to stay in those places because He still has a purpose for you that only you can fill. God has a special place for you. Other people are depending on you. Your children are depending on you. Your co-workers are depending on you, whether they know it or not. Your family members, your church family, your neighbor, somebody that you might meet in the store that has a problem. If we withdraw because of places where we ourselves have failed, and we let the enemy get a hold on our lives and cause us to feel like we are inadequate and have nothing to offer and need to just withdraw to a corner somewhere and let somebody else take care of it, there will be other people that will suffer as a result of that. Because God has a special place for you. Every single person in here this morning, God has a special place. And He wants us to arise. He wants us to get up. And not only that, but He wants us to go in the fear of the Lord. It may not be to the multitudes like Paul preached to the multitudes and Peter and Jesus. But it might be to the one. It might be to the one that has eternity before them. And you're the only one that can reach them. May God help us to have our eyes open to the reality of the place that God has for you specifically. It is time for us to be a participant. God doesn't want us to withdraw into our corner and just be an observer. I don't want to be selfish by withdrawing. Sometimes we think selfishness is giving tangible things, not giving tangible things to other people that we have. But we can be selfish when we ourselves get hurt. We can be selfish when we face things that are bigger than we are, and we don't allow the Lord to work with us and give us victory. And because of that, other people suffer as a result of that reaction. God wants you to be encouraged today. He has forgiveness. He has help. He has life where there was perhaps death yesterday. The Lord has life for you today if you will allow Him to talk to your heart, to set you on your feet, to establish your goings, to put a new song in your heart, to open your eyes to the place that you have in His work. You say, well, I don't know what He has for me in His work. And so then you withdraw. I want to exhort you today. If you're not sure what your place is, everybody's place is to do what you know is right. And do that consistently. Endeavor to be a consistent, dependable servant of the Lord. And as you do that, the Lord will bring things your way, places, special places your way that only you can fill the place that God has for you. I think different times also of what the shipmaster said to Jonah. You remember when the shipmaster came to Jonah and Jonah was down there. Was he awake down there in the bottom of the ship or was he asleep? He was asleep down there. And the shipmaster came along and he said, what meanest thou? You're down here asleep. We are fighting for our lives up here. Well, Jonah had gotten to the place where he said, I'm done. That's as far as I'm going to go. Lord, you're calling me to go to Nineveh? I can't go to Nineveh. That's outside of what I'm able to do. Lord, you want me to have the joy of the Lord? Lord, I can't have the joy of the Lord knowing what's happened to me and what's on the other side of that. I can't go there. I'm going to go this other way. I'll live, I'll subsist, but it doesn't look like the joy of the Lord is available for me in life given what has gone on in my life. And you fill in the blank. Lord, I've sinned. I can't go there. That's not a place that I get to go anymore, so I'm going to go somewhere else. Jonah got to the place, he said, Nineveh, can't go there. That's a scary place to go. And it was. If you read about Nineveh, I think I'd be scared too. So I'm careful about judging Jonah too hard. When you read about Nineveh, that was not a small ask. But in the name of the Lord, he could have been successful. We are asked to do things that feel like they're not a small ask. The Lord comes our way and He bids us go to places that look fearful to us. That look like Nineveh to us. Where it looks like we'll be consumed if we go there and try to do that. And so we say, can't do that. I'm not going there. I'm going to go somewhere else. And so Jonah headed somewhere else. And he went into this ship. The storm comes up because of his actions. And he promptly goes down there and goes to sleep. Absent without leave. He wasn't given permission by God to go down there and go to sleep. But he went down there and he has withdrawn himself from the situation that he created and he could have helped with, and he's down there asleep. And the shipmaster came along and said, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise and call upon thy God. Well, you know the rest of the story. Jonah ended up further south than the bottom of the ship. Jonah ended up down in the depths of the sea in a fish. But we also know that the end of that story wasn't that Jonah never surfaced again. The Lord brought Jonah back up. And He spit Jonah out on dry ground. Not wet ground. He spit him up on dry ground. And He had a message for him. It was time for Jonah to get up and arise. And go to Nineveh. I have a purpose for you, Jonah. You're needed. Only you, Jonah. I've called you to do this. I didn't call anybody else to go to Nineveh. This is the place that you're in. Jonah, wake up. Arise and go. Folks, if we're not faithful, there will be other people in our lives that we adversely affect if we choose to go down into the bottom of the ship and withdraw and go to sleep because we have told ourselves, I can't go any further. I can't go on. I can't do that. You can't in your own strength. They couldn't do that. Joshua couldn't do that in his own strength. But the Lord, in His mercy, He comes along and He gently bids us arise. And not only arise, but go. He has a purpose and He has a plan for you. And so I want to encourage each one that is here today. If you have failed yourself, if you have failed others, if you have failed the Lord, if you are living with consequences in your life that has come about because of the choices that you have made, and those consequences seem like they are going to absolutely define the rest of your life and put you in a place where you are no longer effective. Or perhaps this morning you are facing circumstances that are beyond your control. You didn't do anything to put yourself in it, yet it seems like it is a giant in your path. And you don't know how to face it. I want to encourage everybody this morning that we serve a faithful, loving, caring God that bids us arise. I'd like to close in reading out of the 8th chapter of Joshua and the first verse. This is immediately after the Lord came to Joshua and they had this discussion about what had happened. It said, "And the Lord said unto Joshua, Fear not." And the Lord is saying to you this morning, fear not. Neither be thou dismayed. The Lord is telling you this morning, be not dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee and arise. Go. Here we hear those two words again. Arise and go forward to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. Every last bit of what caused you failure in the past, the Lord was promising victory in and over the very thing that caused Joshua and the people to find themselves down on their face in the mud. And the Lord has similar promises for you today, that we can arise and go in the strength of the Lord. I believe today that the Lord has special victories in store for every single person that is here this morning, regardless of your background. May God help us to be encouraged to arise and go, seeking the will of God in our lives, not letting the enemy have control over us, but going with courage in the name of the Lord. There is yet much hope for you in life. I want to be saved. I want to be a dependable servant of the Lord. I desire your prayers. Amen.